Ladies and gentlemen, order. Order, please.
Well, I've come here today to say enough is enough. We won't rest until our citizens can return safely to their homes. We will not accept a terror army perched on our northern border able to perpetrate another October 7th style massacre. As long as Hezbollah chooses the path of war, Israel has no choice and Israel has every right to remove this threat and return our citizens to their homes safely. And that's exactly what we're doing. I have a message for the tyrants of Tehran. If you strike us, we will strike you. There is no place in Iran that the long arm of Israel cannot reach. And that's true of the entire Middle East.
Sandy Rios with you. Wow, that was Benjamin Netanyahu. Just a tiny bit of his speech at the United Nations this past Friday. If you're listening, that was the end of September, the 28th, 27th, I'm not sure which. And so he gave this most powerful speech. I just happened to turn it on and see him. It was in the middle of the day, and I was just so compelled. And the room was actually pretty empty. Certainly Iran was not there. The leaders of the Muslim world, there might have been some there, but mostly not. The cheering that you heard was in the gallery from I don't know, probably Israelis, people, you know, the outliers that actually support Israel, because the UN hates Israel. They've been trying to do their best to actually do their part to destroy them. They've been doing that for decades. They truly have been doing that for decades. So Benjamin Netanyahu was giving this speech, and while he was giving the speech, oh my goodness, the raid, the attack on the leader of Hezbollah, which is Iran's lead proxy terrorist organization, and his generals was conducted. It's amazing. It's an amazing story. We're going to talk about it today and all the other things, too, that Israel has been doing. It's a fascinating story, and I hope you will stay tuned for it. We talk about life here a lot, and it reminds me today, especially because we're talking about Israel, of Deuteronomy 30. And this is when God says to his people, I call heaven and earth as witnesses today. This is God speaking to his people. I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both you and your descendants may live, that you may love the Lord your God, that you may obey his voice, and that you may cling to him, for he is your life and the length of your days. Well, that's just part of Deuteronomy 30, but it's an important part. And choose life is just, that's the way, where the term came for pro-lifers, because God wants us to choose life. And that's why we do our best every day to bring help to preborn. Preborn is in the business of helping women decide to choose life, the life of their babies, and really life of a different kind for them, you know, eternal life and renewal spiritually. That's what they're in the business of doing, and that's why we partner with them. If you want to help them provide ultrasounds to moms so they can see their babies and choose life, go to preborn.com/Sandy. That's preborn.com/Sandy. Well, you're listening to Sandy Rios 24/7, and you know you can call us at 662-821-2040, 662-821-2040. You can send an email. At sandy@afr.net. You can listen to the podcast on any podcast platform. AFR.net is our home base, American Family Radio. But you can listen on Spotify or Amazon or Apple, whatever you're connected with. You can also go to my website, which is sandyrios.com. It's easy to listen from there as well. Well, I personally think you're in for a treat today. This is a thrilling story in every way, and we're going to tell it as best we can on today's edition of Sandy Rios 24/7.
From American Family Radio, Sandy Rios.
We are not called to be nice. We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
I think the most important thing we need to demonstrate to our children is genuineness, that we actually believe what we say we believe.
A longtime Fox News contributor, Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
Seek justice. not social justice, but God's justice, what's right and what's wrong.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association,
a pro-life radio talk show host.
We've got to say this is the line. Life is sacred.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
שהחיינו וקיימנו והגיענו לזמן הזה.
All right, Zeta, just a little bit. Adam, I just want you to know that is the way Channel 14 in Israel opened up on September the 28th. This is a news program, and they're all clapping and singing, and the audience, it's just because why? Because Israel has just amazed the world with the victories it's had against its enemies, and really our enemies too, and that's what we're going to talk about today. But Adam, bring it up a little bit. Let's hear just a little bit more of it. I want people to listen. That's the host singing with them. This is recording. It's really fun. It just it was a wonderful thing to see. Okay, you can bring it back down. All right, that was Channel 14 in Israel. And, of course, we want to talk. I don't think enough is being made of the victories of Israel. Maybe not the even the it's the full story. Not that we can give it to you in the few minutes that I have. But I've asked a friend to join us this morning. She's certainly more than a friend. She is an expert on so many things. I've known her for years. She's the founder and former director of the Independent Women's Forum. She's the director of a coalition for the Senate Republican Conference. She was the director of the Israel Project, is the director of the Israel Project, and senior staff of the Senate Judiciary Committee confirmation team. All those public confirmations of judicial appointments that were so controversial, Barb was right in the thick of all of that, and you haven't heard her name because staffers don't become famous, but they are the ones that make the world go round on Capitol Hill. Also, Barb, the first thing that she would say to you, and she can say it herself, is that she is the mother of three highly successful kids who are all practicing Jews, just as she and her husband Michael are. And Michael Ledeen is he's an intellectual historian. He's written many books, including several New York Times bestsellers on history, Iran. He's an expert on Iran. And so I just wanted to give you background before I say good morning, Barb Ledeen, and thanks for joining us.
Good morning, Sandy, and thank you for having me.
It's my pleasure.
I just want to say what you just played. At the beginning of that quote-unquote news show from Israel, he opened with a prayer called the Shehechianu, which thanks God for letting me be alive to see this day. He opened with a prayer. Thought you'd want to know.
Oh, I do. You know, Barb, that reminds me. I think people, you know, we watch news shows all the time, and we don't see that happening here. One time, there was an exception, Barb. When I was in North Korea during 9/11, I'm sure you know that, and we were stranded in China. I was in Beijing, and I watched CNN at night. Overnight, just so I could see what was happening. And I was watching one of those many nights as a CNN anchor, I wish I could remember the name, ask a pastor on the set, live on CNN, to pray.
Wow.
I mean, I thought to myself, man, the whole world has changed. But of course, that lasted 20 seconds. But it did happen once. All right, so Barb, so many things have happened. It's difficult to get our arms around it, but I want to play some clips as we talk. And Benjamin Netanyahu, of course, spoke at the UN on Friday. I want to give people just an idea of the kinds of things he was saying, and then I would love it if you could tell us the story behind the scenes of what was happening. Okay, can you do
sure.
that? All right, so, but let's, Adam, let's play clip four and let people have an idea of the power-punched message that Benjamin Netanyahu was delivering to a mostly empty room at the UN where he was speaking. But this is how it sounded, and this is what he said. Clip four.
Israel has made its choice. We seek to move forward to a bright age of prosperity and peace. Iran and its proxies have also made their choice. They want to move back to a dark age of terror and war. And now I have a question. And I pose that question to you. What choice will you make? Will your nation stand with Israel? Will you stand with democracy and peace? Or will you stand with Iran, a brutal dictatorship that subjugates its own people, exports terrorism across the globe? In this battle between good and evil, there must be no equivocation. When you stand with Israel, you stand for your own values and your own interests. Yes, we're defending ourselves, but we're also defending you against a common enemy that through violence and terror seeks to destroy our way of life.
All right, that was, he was speaking, you could see the camera scan. Iran was missing, Palestine was missing. I don't know who else was missing, a lot of the Middle Eastern countries. As he's saying this, a lot of European nations were there. Okay, so Miss Barbara Ledeen, tell us what was happening behind the scenes while he was speaking.
Well, they were getting, they were loaded for bear, the Israelis, so to speak. He had already given the signal that it was time for retribution, and it went off while he was speaking. And it had been many, many years in preparation, of course. And it wasn't just a sudden, oh, let's do this. They had prepared. And when the moment was when he gave the order, the planes were already in the air. And it was quite an emotional moment for all of us who were watching. We of course, didn't know that they were about to launch, but what he was saying was so clear, because Israel, of course, is facing an existential fight. And they had warned everybody for years that if we have to face an existential fight, Israel was saying, we will fight. And I guess nobody believed him.
You know, my understanding...
Certainly Iran didn't.
Barb, this is my understanding, at least a little more of the detail, which I find this... Well, I tell you, no, I'm excited. I called you on Friday, but I would say somehow they had intelligence, the Israeli Defense Forces, that Nasrallah and his team were meeting in a bunker together, and ironically, meeting in that bunker to watch Bibi Netanyahu's speech because
yes.
they thought that he was going yes. to agree to some sort of ceasefire, right?
Yes, that's correct. It was a diversion. I mean, there was the question. So in Israel, the question was, should he go to the UN? Because it was going to be on Shabbat. Was he going to stay in New York for Shabbat, or what was going to happen? Because he wasn't permitted, usually, to travel on Shabbat. No Jews are. So what happened was, Nasrallah and his folks looked at this as, well, Bibi's going to speak, so certainly there's not going to be any attack while he's gone. And, of course, in Israel, there was a big discussion among the rabbis. There were some who said he cannot travel on Shabbat, and some who, this is leading up to this weekend, that was leading up to a Thursday night, they were having this discussion. Should he fly back? Should he not fly, be permitted? And so, anyway, he gave the speech. Now, how was it that they were all in this bunker? Well, they weren't able to communicate. They didn't have any telephones. They didn't have any walkie-talkies. They had to meet in person. Yes. So,
No pagers.
I mean, I'm laughing because how stupid. Anyway, yeah, I think it's pretty stupid. So they couldn't talk, so they had to meet. So they all met in the bunker, and kaboom. There
yes.
it went.
All right, so
it
we
was
should...
gorgeous.
Yes, and let me just say that Hassan Nasrallah, the leader of Hezbollah, and we'll have to talk about some of this, Barb. This is like common ground for you, not so much for regular Americans. But he was the leader of the Hezbollah terrorist organization. And all of his, well, there were so many. There's a chart. There were so many eliminated. There's absolutely, actually, a chart that shows how many of these terrorists were eliminated in that one, attack. But there's so much more that's happened since then. But I do want to flesh this one out a little bit. Hezbollah, of course, is what we call a proxy. Iran is the big dog spending its millions that we're enabling them to collect, by the way, thanks Joe Biden. They were pretty much diminished in terms of their economy and everything, their ability to develop nuclear weapons when Donald Trump was president. But when Joe Biden came in, he started enriching them. It's just shocking. They're worth millions
now. The first day he came in, he reversed Trump on this.
So they have enriched their coffers, and they've spent their money building up terrorist organizations like Hamas, Hezbollah, and others, which we can get into in a second. But we're aware of what's happened in Gaza with Hamas. But Hezbollah, maybe people are less familiar with. Barb, can you just give us a word on kind of how are they compared to Hamas? Are they the same?
So let's imagine the Godfather. Let's imagine that there is a Godfather. It's called Iran. And all of the other Godfather families are seated at the table. And all these other Godfather families do business and with each other and with drug cartels and with people who traffic other people and guns and all the rest of it. And they all sit around the table and they negotiate with each other and they look out for the feds, all right? And so when the feds attack, the feds being Israel, when the feds attack or defend themselves, all these people around the mafia table work together to defeat their enemy, which is us. So they work in concert along with the capo, the chief Godfather. That is what we're facing. We are facing, and Israel is on the front lines of facing this, an international criminal conspiracy headed by Iran. And all these groups that you hear about, whether they're Hamas, Hezbollah, they all feed from the same teat, which is Iran.
Yes.
And if there was ever going to be peace in the Middle East, Iran has to be decapitated. And today, Bibi gave a speech to the Iranian people and basically said, now is your time, rise up, which is the first time he has done that.
Well, I saw a video of the whatever the parliament of Iran is called. They have another name, I'm sure, shouting death to Israel and in defiance. Mm-hmm. But and let me just say also, Hezbollah has been attacking the entire Western world for the last 40 years. It's us,
correct,
too. Yeah. But how is it possible to give scope to what Israel's done in terms of taking out the leadership and even, you know, through the pagers and the phones, that initial attack of sorts before the major attack against Nasrallah? Is it possible to quantify what kind of damage that's done to Hezbollah?
Oh, yes. So let's imagine that all the important people in Hezbollah had pagers or cell phones. And none of the unimportant people had pagers or cell phones. So you have killed or maimed or taken out in some way all of the leadership of Hezbollah, and you are left with the peons, let's say. You're left with people who've had no standing within Hezbollah. And those are the people that are now in command. And so the next person named after Nasrallah, guess what happened? He didn't even live 24 hours after he was named.
Yes.
He was bombed. And now they're going after, this mafia is like a spider web. And so Israel has gone to Lebanon, it's gone to Syria, it's gone to Yemen, it's gone inside of Iran, and it has systematically taken out the leaders of Hamas and Hezbollah, so they will not be able to accomplish their evil deeds again.
Yeah, and so in regard to Lebanon specifically and Hezbollah there, do I understand correctly, Barb, that they were able to take out the munitions, whatever you want to say, that was like underneath where the leaders were meeting or living? Were they able to take all of that out?
They have. They have taken out thousands and thousands of missiles intercontinental ballistic missiles that have been launched from Yemen have also been taken out. And I want to also note, you may not know this, but when Bibi's plane took off from when Prime Minister Netanyahu's plane took off from New York, it was accompanied by two American F-15 airplanes to protect him because there had been notification that there might be a surface-to-air missile on his airplane. When he landed, before he landed in Israel, as his plane was approaching, Hamas and Hezbollah in Yemen launched a missile to attack the prime minister's plane and bring it down on its approach to Israel. And it was intercepted. And then within 24 hours, the entire military airport in Yemen was blown up with a kind of message saying, don't try that again.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I mean, I know there's so much to this. I thought I knew, well, something, but there's a lot I don't know. And also just the intrigue behind all of it. That reminds me, you know, the response of Joe Biden and Kamala, whoever the heck is leading the country, which, you know, neither of them are really, but they make statements. So Biden is still, like, doubling down on, he wants a ceasefire, right? In which area? Yeah. A ceasefire with who?
Yeah. There's not going to be a ceasefire. In the first place, let's go back to the hostages who have still not been released. I don't see anybody at the UN making statements about release of hostages. And by the way, I should note to you and your listeners that the International Red Cross has not once in a year visited the hostages or asked about their situation or made any statement about the Israeli hostages being held. IRGC was very sympathetic during World War II to Hitler and against the Jews, and that has not changed in all these years.
You know, I believe I saw, correct me if I'm wrong, that there's a woman who's the head of the International Red Cross now. I think it's a woman that she visited with Iranian leaders, either she just did.
Yep.
I think people need to understand that. The Red Cross has been off the rails for generations. And so whatever we thought it was at once during the, 1890s, I don't know, when it was founded, it's not that now. It just isn't. Mm-mm. They do harm around the world. So don't give them money. So
that's right.
All right, so let's go back to Hezbollah. Now, in Lebanon, Barb, the hard part now is that Israeli troops, as I understand it, are going to have to go into southern Lebanon and fight because there's thousands, so I'm reading, of Hezbollah, like ground troops, that they have to eliminate. Is that true?
Yes, they are massing. Here the issue is that in northern Israel, because the villages and towns and farms and so on in northern Israel have been under attack from Hezbollah in Lebanon, which, by the way, is the shadow government of Lebanon, let's be clear. Because those Israeli citizens have been under severe attack, they have had to move all those people, tens of thousands of people who live in northern Israel, south to keep them safe. Now, this is not this does not mean that Israel has given up the northern part of Israel. I mean, Israel is so tiny, it can't give up a square inch. But they've moved these people out for their own safety, and now they want to move them back. It's time for them to go home. And in order for them to go home, Israel has to clear out the terrorists in southern Lebanon and build they have to build a territory that is clear of any possibility of any attack. And that's what they're doing.
Okay, well, let me play it. Now I want to play briefly. This is just a very short little bit on a Fox report this morning in regard to that. This is clip 3. Let's listen.
So Iran's parliament speaker vowed to continue fighting Israel and said the U.S. must accept the consequences of supporting Israel. So now we continue to await Iran's response after the killing of Nasrallah. There are reports from several different organizations that small Israeli groups, special forces, are going into southern Lebanon to gather intelligence ahead of a possible ground invasion. Defense Minister Yoav Gallant met with troops in the north just moments ago and told them killing Nasrallah was only part of the plan, and them going into Lebanon may be the next part.
You know, I find myself wondering, Barb, if people were supposed to know that. It's like, what is the truth about what the Israelis shared with the Americans? The Americans said right away, American government, not us people who love Israel, but the government that's wrecking our country, their response was that, oh, we didn't know anything about that. So then there's all this speculation about whether Israel shared with them or not. What do you know about that?
Well, I don't know anything. I don't have clearances, of course. But I would like to say, with regard to that, Israel is a sovereign nation. It is a nation state. It has its own constitutional power to defend the state. All right? It doesn't have to report to anybody about what it decides to do any more than we report to anybody when we decide to do something. It is unusual for the United States to be told by Israel, we are a nation state, bug off, because we're great allies. But they don't trust this administration. They don't trust it because, with good reason, because when they know things ahead of time, they leak it. They will call the New York Times, or they'll call David Ignatius at the Washington Post, or they'll call the enemies of Israel and let them know what's about to happen. So they're right not to share it. It's the government is not our government, unfortunately, and more than unfortunately, disgracefully, is not trusted.
Well, and there's a good reason for that, because I can't think of his name offhand, but one of Biden's chief advisors in some capacity is no doubt, obviously, we know, a known Iran sympathizer. And so they've got their finger on the scales and they can't be trusted. The reason I mentioned in the context of that report was that the reporter is saying that he's telling us something I think we don't need to know, that IDF special forces are going into southern Lebanon to scope it out. We don't need to know that.
And I just read this morning that the Israeli special forces have gone into tunnels in Lebanon. They have found kilometers-long tunnels. They're going through the tunnels. Don't forget, they've got to find the hostages. Now, it would be easy if, you know, Iran or Hezbollah or Hamas, any of those, would release the hostages. Release the hostages. It's not for Bibi. I know that this is, you know, very popular and people wear these necklaces that say, bring back the hostages. It's not up to Bibi to bring back the hostages. It's up to the people who have them to release them. Release them.
Yeah.
Right?
Well,
peace? Release the hostages.
Well, they always, you know, it's always like a diversion when the left chimes in. There's some truth to it. Some concern, they strike a chord of the heart, but they don't. It's really when you think, if you think through it intellectually, that what you just said is absolutely true, but people are not thinking very clearly, which brings me to ask you, the opposition to Bibi, which was very strong, has been, they've been marching in the streets, bringing back the hostages and all the other things, hostage families, you know, having a loud voice and all their stories being told very sympathetically. And we understand that. None of us have no sympathy for them having their loved ones held like they have been, especially since we've seen the circumstances now some have been, some more stories have come out. So what are they doing now? Are they still marching in the streets? Are they quiet? Where are they going?
No. The overwhelming Israeli reaction is, as that radio, that news show showed, they are overwhelmingly thrilled. They are encouraged. They are understanding that this is really biblical. We're approaching Rosh Hashanah, the Jewish New Year, which begins on Wednesday night. So this is really, I got to say, biblical. That's all it is. It is biblical.
Yeah, Barb, I'm just curious, you know, because I just don't know. Bibi Netanyahu's been around for a long time. And has he always invoked Scripture when he's speaking?
Oh,
you know?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Has he?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
We've known Bibi. We've known, I keep calling him Bibi because we go back many, many years. But to when he was a graduate student at MIT. By the way, he has a PhD from MIT, in case you didn't know. He's a very smart man. His father was an extremely learned historian. Bibi is brilliant, as you can tell, and he is very grounded. not only in Bible, but also in history. So he knows what he's doing.
I love it when he invokes biblical characters and stories. And David, I just think it's inspiring, and it's evidently having a tremendous, you know, Israel, I don't need to tell you, Barb, has been pretty much a secular, really, a very secular society who, you know, except for, I don't know percentages, I just know that when I've been there, there aren't a lot of people who really seem to be serious about their faith.
It's a mixed society. It's a really, yeah. Sandy, it's a really mixed society. Jerusalem is a religious city. Tel Aviv is not a religious city.
Yeah.
There are many, many towns throughout Israel and kibbutzim throughout Israel that are very observant, and others that are not. But there's a freedom to be any of it. Yeah, yes or no, you can participate or not participate. But it's the only place where Jews are free to do. It's the only place where you can get onto a bus and know that the bus driver is Jewish. I mean, it's a very funny thing for us to go over there and experience a completely Jewish society, whether they're practicing to the extreme that the very, very observant or not, or secular, completely secular. They're all still Jews.
Would you not say, though, that there is, would you say, from your perspective, that there's a spiritual renewal, a recognition of God's power, even in the army
forces fighting? Sure. Oh, for sure. Yeah. Oh, Ab, there's no question about that. Look, yes. Look at, you know what they, when they send over ballistic missiles from Yemen, for example, to bring down Bibi's plane, do you know the name of the defensive missile that the Israelis used to bring down that? It's called David's Sling.
Oh, yes, 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 yes. Now, wait, is David's Sling the same? That's synonymous with the Iron Dome?
It's for a higher atmospheric defensive systems. The Iron Dome is lower down, and the David's Sling is higher up.
Okay. You know what? When I did a national security tour there with some journalists a number of years ago, and I know this is not a big deal to you, but I met the inventor of the Iron Dome in a private setting. He gave us a briefing, and we met with the IDF. We met with the flying camels, these guys that were shooting down these really smart attacks on Palestine and Gaza, where they warn people that it's coming to try to preserve life, and they target, you know, just the apartment of the terrorists. It's an amazing thing.
Right.
So all of that's fascinating to me, Barb, and it's fascinating to anybody that has any intellectual curiosity and does not hate the Jews, and there's certainly plenty of that going on in the country. We won't get off on that, but I want to. So the mood in Israel, I would love for you, please, to describe what's happening at the Wailing Wall and the plaza. Don't you call it plaza? I'm not sure the exact name for that.
Yes, it's called the West. It's called the Western Wall. It used to be called the Wailing Wall before 1968, before Israel took control of that area. Now it's no longer the Wailing Wall. It is the Western Wall of the Temple Mount.
Okay.
And so, as I told you, Rosh Hashanah begins this week. It's called. It is the month of Elul in the Hebrew calendar. For the month of Elul, 30 days of the month, there's a special prayer, which is chanted every night, getting ready for the new year and in preparation for the kind of it comes to me in Hebrew, tshuva, it's called, for a kind of penitence and reckoning of the accounts of the past year.
Okay.
And so it takes every night they go to the Western Wall and they pray this particular prayer every night for 30 nights before Rosh Hashanah. And that's what's going on. And so tens of thousands of people for the past month, no matter the bombardments, no matter anything, go because they have faith that God is there and will be with us.
Would you say then that the prayer you're talking or referring to, I'm sure you don't know the words, but I mean, I'm assuming, is a prayer of repentance?
Yes, it's a prayer of repentance and belief and faith. that God will be with us in the coming year.
Well, I have had the privilege of seeing a few of those videos where they are, the Israelis are dancing and singing. Oh, it's just,
yep.
It's so moving. It really is. All right, so.
It's moving because it's ancient, and it is particular to the Jewish people, who this, I have to say that I think this entire episode has shown the world that that Jewish people don't go on trains anymore. We're not going to be anybody's victims anymore, that we have a sovereign state, that this is why the sovereign state exists, and it will act as a sovereign state for the Jewish people. It's important that this get into the Western brain.
Yes, I agree. I agree. I was just reading. Oh, I should read this. There's a quote from a Frenchman that I want to share. Of course, there are quotes from all over the world. But this Frenchman worked for the prior premier. I'll find it. But just the rejoice. Here it is. Here it is. Now, forgive my French. Louis Sarkozy, son of the former French president Nicolas Sarkozy.
This is the son. This is the son of the former prime minister Sarkozy.
Yes, and he says Hezbollah killed 58 French soldiers. Israel is doing a great service to humanity by killing Hezbollah terrorists. I have no mercy for them. I'd be happy to see them all eliminated. In closing, Barb, I understand what this means to Israel, and we see the effect on Israel, but can you paint, you're an American, can you paint a broader picture of what you think this means to the world?
Yes, I think this means to the world that evil exists, and it will continue to exist until you fight it. It will not go away on its own. It's like a cancer. You have to treat it. It will not go away. You have to face it, and you have to go back actually to Genesis, to the creation of good and evil. When God has the tree of knowledge of good and evil in the Garden of Eden, and it gives us the free will to decide whether we're going to fight good and evil. And that's what Bibi was talking about at the UN. It's not going to go away. Deal with it.
I have one more question. I'm sorry, I can't let you go before I ask you, because Michael is an expert in Iran, and therefore you are very knowledgeable all about Iran. What do you think? Tell us what you think Iran, how they might respond. My impression only is that they're cowards for the most part.
You got it, Sandy. They are total cowards, and they have all these other groups lined up close to Israel to defend the Iranian regime. These are all proxies for the Iranian regime. The Iranian regime is terrified, Michael says. I mean, we talked about it this morning. He says they are absolutely terrified. They will not attack Israel. The Iranians will not attack Israel. But now is the time for the people of Iran to overthrow the regime.
Oh, wow. Well, now, there you go. There's a whole other issue, but so interesting. Barb Ladin, this has been a real pleasure. I really appreciate you. I do. I appreciate, because you're so knowledgeable and you have such passion. You know, it's your life, it's your kids, it's your country. And, we Christians are not Jews, but we are, I know we don't agree on this, but we are grafted and we serve the same God. So when we see God working with you, it's just a glorious thing for us. It's a glorious thing.
Oh, I agree with you 150%, if there's such a thing. I totally agree with you. God is working his way.
Yes. Okay. All right. Well, listen, you take care, and we'll talk to you soon. And thanks for joining us. This is Sandy
Rios.
Thank you.
Have a good day, everyone.
Thank you. This is Sandy Rios on Sandy Rios 24/7. Hi, this is Sandy Rios. A lot of Christians would be shocked to learn they are personally profiting from abortion and pornography. It's unnerving to realize just how many companies and corporations are actively involved in unbiblical practices. To help cut through the red tape, there is a great option known as Timothy Plan. Timothy Plan is the pioneer in biblically responsible investing. Timothy Plan carefully filters out companies involved in practices Scripture tells us to avoid. We are in an all-out culture war. One powerful way to make a difference is to put our money where our values are. Please go to timothyplan.com/Sandy. That's timothyplan.com/Sandy. Or call 1-800-TIM-PLAN. That's 1-800-846-7526. Discover how to be a biblically responsible investor.
Before investing, carefully consider the fund's investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of the investment company. This and other important information can be found in the fund's prospectus. To obtain a copy, visit timothyplan.com or call 800-846-7526. Read each prospectus carefully before investing.
This is Sandy Rios 24/7 on American Family Radio.
We're facing a time right now where, even during the election of 2024, there are many issues on the ballot in several states to make abortion legal for all 9 months. Oh, it doesn't say that, but it does say that with the language. They're removing parental consent. They are encouraging women to take the life of their babies. They're encouraging the distribution of the abortion pill. It's a sad situation we're facing. And I really honestly believe the best way to fight back is something redemptive. And something redemptive is showing the moms their babies in the womb. What could be more redemptive? What could be more beautiful? And you know what? It actually works. So if you'd like to help Preborn provide those ultrasounds, go to preborn.com/Sandy. That's preborn.com/Sandy and make your most generous donation. Hi, it's Sandy Rios, your old friend from the morning show. So many crucial and frightening events are unfolding before our eyes that we have decided to re-engage with the daily news on Sandy Rios 24/7 as we once did in the mornings. I want to invite you to come over to the podcast, Sandy Rios 24/7, so that we can work our way through these difficult times together. Just go to AFR.net or any podcast platform. You can also find Sandy Rios 24/7 at sandyrios.com. And one more thing, a fun thing. My book, God's Velvet Hammer, is now on Audible. Sometimes listening is better than reading. I recorded it in my own voice, which makes it even more personal for all of you who know me so well. Audible books are available on Amazon.com. God bless each and every one of you for your faithfulness to Him. My prayer is that as we stand together in this battle, we can finish well.
The Sandy Rios 24/7 podcast are available at AFR.net. Back to Sandy Rios 24/7 on American Family Radio.
So there should be no confusion about it. But unfortunately, there is a lot of it in many countries and in this very hall, as I've just heard. Good is portrayed as evil, and evil is portrayed as good. We see this moral confusion when Israel is falsely accused of genocide, when we defend ourselves against enemies who try to commit genocide against us. We see this too when Israel is absurdly accused by the ICC prosecutor of deliberately starving Palestinians in Gaza. What an absurdity. We helped bring in 700,000 tons of food into Gaza. That's more than 3,000 calories a day for every man, woman, and child in Gaza. We see this moral confusion when Israel is falsely accused of deliberately targeting civilians. We don't want to see a single person, a single innocent person die. That's always a tragedy. And that's why we do so much to minimize civilian casualties, even as our enemies use civilians as human shields. And no army has done what Israel is doing to minimize civilian casualties. We drop flyers, we send text messages, we make phone calls by the millions to ensure that Palestinian civilians get out of harm's way. We spare no effort in this noble pursuit. We see yet another profound moral confusion when self-described progressives march against the democracy of Israel. Don't they realize they support the Iranian-backed goons in Tehran and in Gaza? The goons who gun down protesters, murder women for not covering their hair, and hang gays in public squares, some progressives. According to the U.S. Director of National Intelligence, Iran funds and fuels many of the protesters against Israel, who knows, maybe some of the protesters, or even many of the protesters outside this building now.
All right, so that's at least a portion of Benjamin Netanyahu's speech, and I think you already understand, because we talked about it with Barbara, how that speech was taking place I believe actually the attack happened just when he finished. I think he finished his speech so that they could hear the Hezbollah leaders who were gathered to watch it because they thought he was going to talk about a ceasefire. Just when he finished, he let them hear the whole thing before they were eliminated, and they were eliminated. It's an incredible story, and it's not over, of course, because with all the things we discussed about the ground troops having to go into southern Lebanon, and now Iran, you know, what is Iran going to do? We'll see. You heard Barb's prediction, and she and her husband Michael are experts on this. So we will see as the days unfold. But the thing I want to repeat or maybe say a little differently to all of you who are Christians, there is a vacuum in our knowledge of Israel, and there's a vacuum in the evangelical church right now of interest in Israel because of the whole theology known as replacement theology, where we Christians and seminarians, professors, are teaching young pastors and have been for a long time now, that somehow the church, the body of Christ, has replaced Israel and the promises in the Bible. And ladies and gentlemen, that's ludicrous. There are so many, God does not change his promises. He does not divert. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. It doesn't mean, of course, we are grafted into the tree, the root we serve the same God. But what happens to Israel is very much related to us. We cannot say, oh, that's a secular state. It is a secular state. But that doesn't, you think that God only works through people who really, really and truly, you know the Old Testament and you know what's happening in our world and you think God only works through evangelical Christians? No, not really. I think he sometimes does his best work through pagans. I think of Rahab the harlot who became an ancestor of Jesus himself. God does his work through through people all over the world, and he has a plan for this world. Many of us are familiar, although even this, pastors are not preaching about Revelation, the prophecies of Ezekiel, and the prophecies of the Old Testament. They just don't feel comfortable, so they don't talk about it. I think this is really part of a horrible plan by Satan, really, to mislead the people of God, to take them off track. But I'm trying to bring those of you who have been persuaded by that back on track and help you understand what's happening in Israel right now is really the center of the world. It's the center of human history. This is where God is at work a lot of places, but this is where we see him most notably right now. This is what the news is covering because it's a huge event. This is miraculous stuff. And as an American, a Christian, when we look at that, I just please want you to understand the implications for us. Our God, that's our God too. He's working among his people, even if they don't recognize him yet, and his son yet. They're working, he's working among them, and he's now going to be working in other ways as we see history complete, and it will be completed. I don't know, sooner rather than later, Jesus said, and God tells us that we're not to know that time. We don't know. But the world is moving. The earth is changing beneath our feet. And as the enemy marches on, and I mean the enemy, human enemy, and the spiritual enemy, Satan, Lucifer, he's getting more and more bold. But we sense that the whole earth is groaning. It's groaning for completion. And I believe most of us understand that. And God, for the most part right now, is showing his powerful, mighty, supernatural strength in Israel. So stay tuned, tune in, and enjoy and rejoice in these incredible days. What an incredible time to be alive. Well, I want to thank our sponsors. Timothy Plan, of course, is where you put your money, where your values are, and discover how to be a biblically responsible investor. Visit timothyplan.com/Sandy. That's timothyplan.com/Sandy or call 1-800-TIM-PLAN. And you know you can find us on social media. You know I'm on Twitter. Mostly that's where I do my posting, but Facebook, Instagram, Telegram. You can find us, the podcast, at AFR.net. That's our home base, but Apple, Spotify, Amazon, wherever you like to listen. You can find the podcast at my website, sandyrios.com. Well, personally, I want to thank you for listening to today's really what I think is an exciting retelling of what's happening in Israel on today's edition of Sandy Rios 24/7.